That was fun.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well,
fine. How are you?
We're the good. How are you?
Party here.
Welcome to the party.
Wow, this looks so fancy.
Your voice is a little deeper.
Yes.
Yeah.
You bring gifts.
Let's just say it was challenging. Alrighty. Throughout the film when my voice did got deeper. I was like, okay.
And then they keep making you listen to the old
yeah,
tape. Can you make it look sound
better? No, that's what they had to do. Every time they had to actually play my voice so I could hear what it was, and then I had to match it.
Wow.
It was like match pitch. I felt like I was doing Pitch Perfect or something.
So is this the first time you guys have met?
Yes, this morning.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I was an absentee father up till that point.
He left me.
My apologies, son.
Jeffrey,
but
you
I'm
feel,
improving.
Feel like with the work you got coming out over like a 3-day period, you're going to entertain everybody in the planet? That you've hit every demographic?
Yeah, it's a pretty good stretch, you know. And, you know, if only old Felix had made an appearance back in Inspector, you know, it had a pretty, you know, had a, that would have been the trifecta there. But, it's, you know, but what I think I appreciate about, you know, these two pictures, Good Dinosaur and Mockingjay 2, is that they appeal to a younger audience, which is something that I, you know, my work hasn't always kind of appealed to. So now that I have kids, though, that that's become more of a consideration for me, and so that I can, you know, curry favor from them and from their friends. They tend to listen to me a little more, you know, intently now, because I'm in The Hunger Games and The Good Dinosaur.
You were picked from 1,400 boys auditioning.
Yes, that is true.
So, yeah, I'm sure you haven't gotten a swollen head from that, but you must be pretty proud of yourself for.
Oh yeah,
how many dinosaurs auditioned?
1,400
dinosaurs as well.
1,400 apatosauruses. Well, like probably 1,399.
That's a lot.
But yeah, I mean, nobody really. I don't really say that a lot. The only time I say that is to my brothers. Like, I audition in front of 1,400 people. No big deal. I do it. That's the only time. I don't go and brag about it. I just go and brag about it to my brothers because, you know, you gotta make yourself sound cooler than you are to your brothers.
Well, people were saying that you brought a lot of emotion to it that he was looking for in the character. So, you know, what did you draw upon to, you know, through the audition and just in the process of recording your voice?
Well, there's a lot of scenes like you have you all seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of scenes where, you know, I have to cry or I'm screaming or yelling, and I think the hardest thing I had to do was I had to really put myself into a moment where I was like that. And, you know, I used to have a dog, and I was very close to my dog, and he did pass away once. He passed away. So, you know, when I ever need to bring out a moment where I'm crying, that's what I do. I bring out that moment. I'm being serious. I was really close to my dog. His name was Wrinkles. And all of our names are spelled with an R. So, yeah, all the boys in the family are R's. So he was a boy, so he was Wrinkles with an R, not a W. Fun fact. But, yeah, that's what I had to do. I had to bring him in there. So, yeah, I think it really helped me. And it was cool because I was able to relate my dog Wrinkles to, like, Spot. It was really cool to do that. He's still here.
Aww.
Mm.
Jeffrey, I thought you had a great rhythm to the voice. Mm. And it certainly didn't sound like the normal pattern I hear when in other roles you've done.
Mm.
Did you make a conscious decision to find a different sort of pattern when speaking as a dinosaur?
Well, you know, I went for that dinosaur rhythm, you know, that old dinosaur. No, Peter had a very specific idea in mind that he wanted, and it was the guy who is the horse whisperer. I forget the guy's name, but he said, "Yeah, I want you to watch this documentary about this, you know, this horse whisperer." And so I did. So I understood that he wanted, you know, my version of, you know, kind of, you know, middle America, you know, farm grounded voice, you know. So, you know, try to you know, give him, because there has to be, when you go into these, there has to be a level of trust between us as, you know, as voice actors and the director, because he knows so much more than you know about what the ultimate you know, universe that, you know, is being created, you know, entails. So, I just put my trust in his capable imagination. And really, I mean, he guided us through this with incredible passion and like a childlike sense of wonder about this world, and also a really precise articulation of the vision. So I just, you know, trusted Peter, and that's, you know, that's how we got there. Because Peter was playing Arlo, and, you know, he was,
playing
Mama, and, you know,
Spot, Mama,
and,
Buck, Libby,
but
everyone.
Would, like, launch himself into it, you know, okay.
It was really hard to understand him because he was just so excited about it.
I mean, just a genuinely infectious excitement, you know, from him. Yeah.
Did you find lots of common things to yourself and then your character, or are you guys completely different?
No, I actually do find a lot of similarities. Hopefully it's not in physical traits, but when it comes to, you know, being like how he is, all he wants to do is be the perfect son. And I think that's his main goal, is, you know, to make his father proud and his mom proud. And that's kind of me, too. I respect my parents a lot. So I wish I'd try my hardest to be the best son I can. And also, he also is very, you know, shy and sometimes. But, you know, and that was me at one time. And he kind of broke out of that, such as I did. He's not fearless, but he broke out of that. He was very scared of a lot. And at the end of the movie, he doesn't become fearless, but, you know, he's not like how he was in the beginning of the movie. And I'm not saying I'm fearless, but, you know, I try my hardest to not be scared, and I try to be, you know, the person that says, yeah, let's go do that, or I don't want to be the person like, oh, no, I'm scared of that one. Yeah.
Person who has no fear is of no use to anybody.
That's very true.
Particularly himself.
Do
this movie, so you have to prove your existence.
Yeah.
And what my question is, but also you stay grounded so well. So how do your brothers, your family, you know, keep you stay grounded, but also you have to prove yourself. How do you, you know, make that balance?
I mean, staying grounded, I can't really take the credit on that one. It's really how you're raised. It's a big thing. It's by your parents, and I have amazing parents, and then also it's your brothers. I have in your family, and my brothers are so amazing. My brother is my older brother Ryan. He is probably the most generous person I know in my life. So he's the one that really kind of helps me and guides me, and all my brothers are the ones that really help me to be grounded. So I try my hardest to be as grounded as I can, and I literally try to be like my brothers, because all my brothers are so nice and they're all very kind, and I really look up to be like them.
They kick your butt every once in a while, though, right?
That is true. Sometimes you gotta lay down the law, though. Yeah. They're not always nice.
Well, mostly recently you have kickback.
Say it again.
What was the most recently, siblings fight?
Recently. I have no idea. there's never been one of those fights where it's like fist fights, but you know, there's always those bickers all the time where it's literally over the dumbest things ever. But we find a way to start fighting about it. I mean, the simplest thing, such as like, I want the remote, is one of them. That's a simple one that happens all the time. Or I want to watch what I want to watch on TV, and then my other brother wants to watch the football game, and that's how it is. But yeah, we're very close, though, at the same time. We're also in a music group. That's how close we are. So yeah, we're a very close family.
And Jeffrey, the dad is being a little hard on the boy because he wants him to grow up and lose kind of the fear. Could you relate to any of those things?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because you have boys? Or?
I have an older boy, a younger girl, yeah. And I guess more so with my son, have I experienced that, you know, that desire to instill a sense of strength and, you know, toughness and but at the same time, that's a lesson that I think many parents learn is when it, you know, too much is too much, and when you've crossed the line between you know, nurturing and damaging. And it's, you know, we don't get, you know, an operator's manual with these things. So as much as we teach our children, we learn from them, you know, and if we're open and being responsible, I think. So, yeah, that was, for me, a really central point of focus in voicing this character, was the experiences that I've had, you know, similar experiences I've had with my own kids. And, you know, I think that's why these things resonate. I mean, we all drew upon, you know, our familial experiences in, you know, trying to tell these stories. And so ideally that resonates with the audience, because the audience, too, is bringing their family history and family life to the table here and imposing that onto these characters as well, as we do. And so that's where we meet, and performer and audience through family. So it's, you know, doesn't get much deeper than that for any of us.
Jeremy, could you talk about family as well? As your character has a good speech to the sons, and with your deep voice, so I could listen whatever you say. how is it in your family? So you're kind of speeching that, so you're kind of like preaching your kids, or
me?
You're more like more quiet, just, you know, show movement.
I do a lot of voice work with my kids. Yeah. They came to understand what certain tones meant pretty early. You know, it's largely with me. It's vocal control to the extent that I can have any control.
I'm just curious, for each of you, you know, so many of these animated movies in particular for kids, it's their first introduction to film. So do you remember, both of you, what film that you saw as a child that kind of influenced you or has maintained an impact on you after all these years that you still remember and think about and maybe watch once a year or twice a year?
Animated film?
It doesn't necessarily...
Or film for children?
Yeah, children.
For me, when you were a kid, what was it for you? Maybe you can...
What movie impacted?
Yeah, back when you were a kid.
Oh, back. Let's go back to that time real quick. Let's think when I was a kid.
Yesterday.
What movie did I watch yesterday?
Good Dinosaur?
That is true. That was 2 weeks ago, okay?
Yeah.
probably, like I said, Monsters, Inc. It really was a moment in my eyes where it was like, you know, wow, you know, I want to be in a movie like that, where it really was just such a cool, like, thing of animations, not real people. At that time, I was just fascinated by the voices of the characters, and, you know, Mike's voice in the movie is just so cool. It's fascinating to me. And then, you know, his look in the movie with the one eye, it's just, all of it is just so cool. And the green, it's just everything about him just fascinated me. And then after that, Pixar just became a big love of mine. And that's why when, like, Incredibles and Ratatouille and all that came out, I was just so excited, and I seen them all.
For me, as a kid, there are many, but if I could pick one, maybe it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for some reason, because there was such a kind of grounded sense of fantasy about it, you know, and storytelling and just the details of the production, the, you know, these elements of invention and just struck me for some reason. So much so that it had been, you know, a desire of mine for a long time to visit Neuschwanstein, the castle that is the castle, the Bulgarian castle. So I actually went with my kids last year. We were filming the Mockingjays in Berlin, and they got out of school, and they came over with me for the last 2 weeks that I was there, and we ended up, once we wrapped, driving from Berlin down to Bavaria and going to visit Neuschwanstein, the castle. But we went, I was so much more excited than they were. I mean, they were digging it, but I was like, come on, we're going to JJ Bang Bang Castle, you know? So maybe I'd choose that. It was also like kind of wonderfully performed. You know, Dick Van Dyke had learned at that point that he probably shouldn't use a British accent, so you didn't have that distraction. You just only had the distraction of trying to figure out how this American ended up in the middle of the British countryside with his kids who sounded, you know, as but yeah, wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Lion
King. Last question.
Oh. Oh.
It was quick.
He knows his friend.
Well, speaking of Pixar, you said you're a big fan. Did you both go to the Pixar Animation Studios to do your voiceover?
Did you?
I didn't. No, I did mine first, most of it in New York. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get out there, though.
It is.
You must have geeked out.
Just say, I was like, wow. First thing I walked in, I just got all the fun facts about it. Like, Steve Jobs was one of the first investors into it. I didn't know that. So they have a Steve Jobs
Smart
building.
Guy.
Walked into there, walked around the entire facility, walked around the entire... I was like, wow, this is the coolest thing in my life. I was like, my brother is actually going to college to be a graphic design. And I'm like, wow, I wish he could see all this right now. I'm a kid, and just seeing those Incredibles and Monsters, Inc. and all these things, I really appreciated seeing that. But he would have, just because, like, if you really looked around, there's, like, the original drawings of Monsters, Inc. and The Incredibles. That, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's kind of cool. Those are the ideas. But he would have been flipping out. He's like, what? Like, that would be him. Like, that's how they do it? It was, yeah. I wish he would have saw it. But it's such an amazing
take episode. Him up there.
Yeah, you should come, too.
Yeah, I'll come with you.
Yeah, cool.
It's a father and son trip. Yeah,
I might be able to pull some strings.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. I'm 14.
Okay. And